Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
Good morning. It is 7:14 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Thanks for joining us on this Galesburg Live edition for Saturday, September 14th. Two great hours of conversation coming up, and I'm Will Stevenson. Glad to be with you to bring you that conversation this morning. Normally, my day job, if you will, is Galesburg's Evening News, weeknights from 5 to 6 p.m., so if you don't listen at 5 o'clock, please do so. We have a lot of conversations like this every night, though it is always nice to get into more depth, which we always do here on Saturday mornings on Galesburg Live. If I may be so shameless before we start, if I can remind you about the, among other things, there's a lot of things going on in the community this weekend, and you can find out more about them on our community events page at WGIL.com. And among those is the annual Out of the Darkness Walk that helps bring awareness to suicides and suicide prevention, part of a more national effort to raise funds for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. That walk starts right before 11 o'clock this morning at Lake Story Shelter Number 1. I believe registration begins at 10. If you did not register online ahead of time, our station FM 95 is one of the sponsors of the event, but I was invited to speak, be among those speaking, that is, this year, and I will be speaking at that this morning. It's a kind of a personal thing for me, so if you're so inclined, and you don't have to raise funds or bring money with you, but you're certainly welcome to, and they need very much the help as well and the support, so if you're able to come out to that this morning, I would appreciate it. Or, again, there's all kinds of other things going on this morning on the community events page of WGIL.com is where you can find out about them. Okay, now that I've gotten my monologue out of the way, in our second hour this morning at 8:15, we'll talk to Knox College President Teresa Amott. Students started moving in yesterday, and things pretty much kick off on Monday on campus. So we'll talk to Dr. Amott coming up in an hour at 8:15. But first, to start our sort of school-based theme this morning, I am pleased to welcome the Regional Superintendent of Schools for Knox, Warren, Henderson, and Mercer counties. Jody Scott, did I get all of them?
You got them all, Will. Great job.
Good morning. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
And also, Tara Case is here as well, the Assistant Family Services Director for the Regional Office of Education. I hope I got that right,
too. You did. Thank you.
Thanks to you for coming in as well this morning. Jody, I'll start with you. We're a few weeks into the school year now. How have things gone? Was summer busy?
Well, summer was very busy. Sometimes we blink and our summer's over.
Oh, no kidding.
And of course, the minute we get back to school, it gets warm again, and we have to think about that hot weather and getting into our buildings. But it's been at a great start. Very calm, which is sometimes unusual,
yeah.
I think. So we're in a good place. A lot of our school districts are just moving right along. A lot of cool things happening. I've said it's been an exciting year because we're having some different conversations. We've had a couple of rough years around funding and those kinds of things. While funding's, you know, never where it should be, and we all know that, we're in a better place this year, and discussion finally gets to be about kids and about curriculum and about improvements and the places where our discussion should be.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think while I think a lot of people have talked in recent years about funding, increasing funding for schools and making it more equitable for school districts. It's kind of nice, I'm sure, to kind of, as you said, maybe take that second to breathe and kind of look at all the other issues when you're not trying to think of money, for sure.
I think absolutely. You know, with the evidence-based funding model passing and us getting, you know, a couple years into that and starting to see things move along and us continuing to get funding put into education, again, it still shows across the state there are so many school districts that are not adequately funded. However, I think we're headed in the right direction and we're not in a place of crisis in most situations, and we get to focus on the important things, which are our kids.
Although there was a report this week that the governor's budget people and a deputy governor sent out a memo to department heads reportedly suggesting that each department kind of look at what their budget would be if they took a 6.5% cut because the state funding still isn't where it should be, even though there have been some, I guess, strides made, depending, I guess, on how you feel politically, to increase funding. I guess my point is you don't really get to take that deep breath for long, do you?
Oh, yeah. You're never out of the woods. I mean, it's always something we're going to be looking at, and it's always going to be a conversation, as it should, actually. Yeah. I mean, we always need to take a good hard look at how public dollars are used and if we're doing things, you know, the way they should be done and appropriately. I think it's just in a place where we get to look ahead and make those decisions rather than, you know, it just not flowing after we've been promised the funding and, yeah, you know, things that are happening that way. So it's just a different place right now and just a little bit better in that we don't feel like we're in complete crisis.
Yeah, that's for sure. So that's definitely a good thing. And for the local school districts, as I'm sure you probably keep an eye on it, they, you know, even though property values continue to maybe increase a little bit or at least stay level, then school districts don't necessarily have to raise property taxes as much in order to try to fund salaries and programs and things like that.
Well, I think with the new evidence-based funding model, that's the goal,
yeah,
right? I mean, that's what we're looking at for those areas that do have the high property tax base and are sometimes having to overtax our citizens. The evidence-based funding model was intended to help relieve some of that.
Is there a downside, though, or are there negatives to evidence-based funding?
I think there's a downside to everything.
Well, sure.
I don't know that I can pinpoint, you know, right now what that might be. It's a complicated formula, and I think as the years go by and we kind of look at and reflect on what needs changed, it'll be tweaked and changed as needed as we learn how the funding falls out and if it's falling out accurately and if it's really doing what we want it to do, which is give the most funding to the schools that need it the most.
Yeah. We're talking with Jody Scott, Regional Superintendent of Schools on Galesburg Live, and Tara Case in her office. We'll bring into this eventually, I swear, Tara. that leads me, though, into a brief discussion about legislation. One of the things we've talked about a couple of times, mostly with State Representative Dan Swanson when he's been on our programs, is one of the, I think, the more important pieces of legislation that has really helped yours and other ROEs across the state out, and that was legislation making it easier for substitute teachers to substitute teach and not have to go through the rigmarole, if you will, of having to go through background checks in each county that they want to sub in.
Right. So we have a shortage everywhere. As we know, teacher shortage, bus driver shortage, paraprofessional shortage, and substitute teacher shortage. So we're working on different avenues with the legislators, and trying to figure out what are some different things that are barriers to folks getting in our schools and working with our students. And yeah, Dan worked diligently to get some legislation passed that would allow the regional offices of education to share fingerprint background checks across the state. So if a substitute teacher lives on a border of a county, mm-hmm, and comes in and gets his or her fingerprint background check in order to be able to substitute and wants to go to that county next door, but that's not in my region, I can then share those. And each time a person is fingerprinted, it's, you know, there's a fee, a pretty significant fee that goes along, yeah, with that. And then those in the past have not been portable.
Yeah, it seems like that kind of not only doesn't motivate substitutes to sub, but by the time you've paid all those fees and gone through all that trouble, you know, all that extra money you got for subbing just went away.
Right. And we want to eliminate as much of that as we can.
Even Representative Swanson said he could sub, which I guess he has, much to my surprise, in Henry County where he lives.
Yes.
But he wouldn't be able to come over to Knox County or any others to
without going through that process all over again.
Although
right.
I think if as a state lawmaker, I think we could probably get him in.
Right? We'd work on it with him.
There you go. You mentioned the other shortages, and I know at least in terms of bus drivers, that was something you worked with the school districts in the region to try to address last year, but sounds like you're telling me it's still a problem?
Oh, it definitely is still a problem. And we'll continue to, you know, kind of reach out and try to find additional bus drivers and work to help the districts out. But we did have a bus driver and substitute teacher and paraprofessional fair last year to do some recruiting. And, you know, one of the things is just kind of reaching out and having people know and understand what kind of credentials they need in order to be able to do these jobs, because they're wonderful part-time jobs sometimes. For people who, I mean, it's a lot of times farmers or people who are seasonal workers or, you know, those kinds of things where they can come out and do some things off season and kind of help our schools out and work with our students.
Does it concern you at all that in some cases superintendents have gone through all the trouble and gotten CDLs and things like that to drive buses themselves? That's got to be a little concerning, taking them away from, you know, time that they could spend working on, you know, curriculum or other administrative things.
You know, it's been something that small rural superintendents have had to do over the years. And I think we get into the time where they have to do more and more and more.
Yeah.
And driving a bus has been one of them. Several of our superintendents have their bus driver license and do drive buses when our school districts are in a pinch.
Is most of it in terms of bus drivers, paraprofessionals, and subs, is it mostly just, as you said, that education component, or are there other issues that may be contributing to these shortages as well?
Well, I think if you look, you know, across the board, it's not just education that's seeing a shortage. I think, you know, there are a lot of folks that are out there, you know, looking for employees.
Oh, sure.
Looking for folks in all kinds of different fields. So I think we're seeing it across the nation. I think definitely in the state of Illinois. So I know it's not just a teacher shortage or an education shortage. I think there's just a shortage in general.
It's become one of the most important jobs, but it seems like in the way society is these days, a lot of those jobs almost end up being thankless to a point that people are not maybe as appreciative of some of those positions and some of those people that work in those positions as they used to be.
Yeah, I don't know. I think sometimes we kind of ebb and flow and the profession looks different. I think with social media, it's been a lot easier to villainize teaching maybe and do some of those kinds of things. But I do think we're at a shift right now and kind of reflecting on the great things that our educators do for our students and the time that they spend with the lives of our kids and the difference that they make every day and the work is hard. And so I think I, you know, I'm starting to see a shift. We're starting to, you know, reach out and make sure that we do take the time to stop and appreciate the field and recognize all that they do and know that the impact that they make.
Do you anticipate having more of those job fairs like you did a couple of times last year in order to help fill those positions?
Yeah, I do think we'll see more things like that.
Okay.
We'll definitely see more recruiting and different kinds of job fairs, getting information out. We've made flyers so that people can, you know, pick up what they have to do, the steps they have to take. And then the other piece of that, you will definitely see, continue to see our Excellence in Education Banquet, us recognizing teachers, recognizing folks for all the great work that they do with our students.
I have about a minute before I need to take a break. And then on the other side of that, I swear I'll bring Tara into this conversation. But while I have a minute, I know you spent a lot of time talking with or working with the superintendents in terms of all the lousy weather we had in the winter and all of them having to take many more snow days or cold weather days or act of God days or whatever you want to call them this past winter. Talk a little bit about that process and kind of you kind of have to oversee the days that the school districts are in school pretty much, right?
Well, we do. At the ROE, I approve all school calendars. So when the calendars come in, we make sure they meet all the requirements. Of course, there's specific specifications that have to be laid out within the calendar, and I have to check and make sure they meet all the requirements and approve the calendars. And then each time that they have a day that they miss, or emergency day, interrupted day, any of those things, then they have to amend their calendar and I have to approve that.
How frustrating was it this year then, especially when we got into that cold snap in February, I think it was. I'm trying to keep it out of my mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Between that and then the days with all the snow and the ice, and man, I've never seen anything like it in terms of trying to at least these schools trying to get the days in and trying to figure out how they're going to handle it all.
Right. It was a little overwhelming that year. And, you know, you're not expecting it. And then it keeps coming and it keeps coming and we keep missing. And so it was really about making sure we investigate and finding out what the rules are for sure. Understanding what we make up and what we don't make up and what that looks like. And looking at, you know, teacher contracts. I mean, there are so many different things that kind of go into that, that we really just had to make sure we were following all the rules and doing the best we could for our students.
And that kind of led to some maybe a little bit of a shift this year for some of the districts in terms of when they start and finish school, right?
Yeah, well, we did a little bit. A few of the school districts did a few things that were just a little different with their calendars so that they could, you know, figure out how to do that if it happened again.
All right. So hopefully we don't have to go through that again, but I guess now that you've had a baptism by fire in that regard with that this year, hopefully things will be okay if the weather gets bad again, right?
Yeah, let's hope we do not have another winter like that.
Jody Scott is the regional superintendent of schools for Knox, Henderson, Mercer, and Warren counties. Tara Case is also here, and we'll shift to what Tara does in early childhood education and things like that after we take a break for news and weather.
Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
7:36 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Galesburg Live. I'm Will Stevenson. In about 45 minutes, less than that, we will talk with Knox College President Teresa Amott as she will be joining us for the first time in a while to talk about what's going on at Knox this year as back to school has hit them too. But we're talking about back to school and other matters with Jody Scott, the regional superintendent of schools for Knox, Henderson, Mercer, and Warren counties. And we're glad to have her. And since I completely shut her out of the last segment, I'm going to turn to Tara Case now, the Assistant Family Services Director at the ROE. Again, welcome. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Good morning.
How long have you been with the office?
2.5 years.
What led you to there?
We have a birth to three home visiting program that they started up. Well, they've had it for several years and they expanded the program about 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, talk a little bit about what that program is. I think that's a really cool thing you do. It sounds like it's maybe, for lack of a better term, a preemptive strike ahead of kids getting into school,
It is. It's a prenatal to three curriculum-based home visiting program.
Okay.
We have parent educators that go into the home either weekly or biweekly, and we focus on family well-being, child development, and then we just work on goals with the families. So we help them with whatever needs they might have. We connect them to local resources.
I imagine you run into a lot of families that maybe while they set out to have a family, perhaps that maybe they, once the kids arrive, that maybe there's almost this shell shock that sort of sets in as to, oh my God, what do I do now?
It is. And that's why we really kind of try to reach them during the prenatal months. So then we can kind of prepare them or kind of that what to expect when you're expecting. Go in weekly or biweekly and we talk about where you're at in your pregnancy, what, you know, the growth of the child, what's developing, what's going on, kind of prepare them for what's to come in the first few weeks too after.
Things that sort of go beyond, I would guess, like, you know, when they go see the doctor for the for their checkups and things like that.
Yeah, and it's also preparing the family, whether it's in making sure, like, home safety, making sure that they have everything in the home to prepare for the child to come home. Yeah, so we kind of like to prepare them in all aspects.
That's fantastic. Jody, from your perspective, how important is something like that in terms of, I guess, the overall scope of one, family life, and two, getting kids ready for school? I can't imagine that's, I guess, why didn't we think of this sooner? is what I'm wondering.
Well, I've been working with the early childhood and home visiting program since the beginning of my career, and we definitely know that early childhood is the key. A lot of great start from that birth to three and even three to five preschool ages is what gets kids ahead. It's what allows kids to keep up when it starts getting, you know, the real school years. But that early childhood phase is the most important phase. And because all the research is telling us that, and that's what we hear and know, there's a lot of focus on really supporting families during those early years.
How is that funded typically? Is that grant funding, or how does that work?
It is grant funding. All of our early childhood programs are funded through the Early Childhood Block Grant through the Illinois State Board of Education.
Okay. I promised Tara I wouldn't ask about funding. I like how they did with Jody here in the first segment.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll shift that back.
Hey, that's what I'm here for. But anything I can do to help. And Tara, I suppose, you know, in a broad sense, you get to see babies every now and then. That's not a bad thing.
We do. We get to play with babies. It's awesome. So it's a good time.
What general concerns, other than what you've said, do parents usually have when you talk to them at that stage?
It's just a lot of resources. A lot of them just don't have the knowledge. They don't have the knowledge, but they don't know what we offer in the community. And so it's just getting them hooked up with the local community connections to help prepare them. One thing we're doing is the car seat safety check. So
yeah,
things like that they're not aware of. And so we kind of let them, we're kind of their go-between on, you know, this is coming up. These are some things that the community is offering. This would be great. So
I know we've talked with like the United Way and things like that before about connecting people to the agencies, and a lot of the agencies that sometimes people don't even know exist. I imagine you run into that a lot too.
It is, and that's just it. There's a lot of people, and we, like we said, we've been around for a while, but when you go and talk to different people, they just don't know. And so that's what we're here. We kind of help the families. We have our little resources, a little booklet that we even have. So if there's something that they need or want and we're not sure about it, we can ask each other. We have all kinds of, you know, libraries and all kinds of things that we can use to help connect them to resources.
I heard you talking off the air about even things like, you know, simple things like diapers and things
like
that. Fortunately, we have a certain agency that's grown beyond leaps and bounds here
in
Galesburg
right.
to help with that. But I imagine, you know, even there are still people that don't know that something like that exists.
Correct. And Loving Bottoms Diaper Bank is a partner agency with us. We do collaborate with them. And what we do with our families is once a month they get a case of free diapers. And then as they're potty training, we also are allowed to give pull-ups.
That's great.
Yeah. So in the last 6 months, Leanne has given us, the Loving Bottoms Diaper Bank has given us 27,000 diapers for our families that are enrolled in our program.
That is amazing. I think when they started, they were lucky to get that many diapers.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Give me an idea of maybe some of the other resources that parents may not know exist when you go to talk to them. We'll talk about the car seat
safety
check in a minute.
Right, car seat safety. We also collaborate with Discovery Depot, and so there are certain days when our parent educators go in and they put together a program, especially on Fridays. There's a Smart from the Start program that the ROE, we're the ones that, host that there at the Discovery Depot, and it's from 9 to 10 in the morning. And then families that are enrolled in our program also get to stay for the rest of the day for free. We also collaborate with the Y Early Learning Center here in Galesburg. So we have a parent educator and a teacher that we house there at the Y that can work with the families as well as with the children.
That's great.
And we also have parent educators in the Knox County housing locations. We have one at Woodland Bend and also at the Cedar Creek location. And I'm forgetting the name of it off the top of my head.
But that's okay.
So we have them. We kind of have them. Kind of located and sprinkled all over the counties. So.
That's wonderful. That's fantastic. And speaking of early childhood, maybe either you or Jody can speak to this. I think I saw somewhere on social media recently that you're trying to expand and continue to hire for positions within that area, right?
We are. We were fortunate enough, you know, as you know, over the last couple of years, our early childhood funding has been up and down a little bit. So we're hoping to move forward again. We had just received notification that we received a portion of an additional grant that we wrote. So we have laid out kind of how we want to move forward and what parts of that grant we're going to be able to move forward with. So we are hiring additional parent educators in the area.
That's wonderful. And as we've said here in the last few minutes, that's just become so, so crucial.
It is. It is. I think, you know, there's so many different situations. When you're a new parent, so much comes at you at once. And when you haven't had that experience, or you're adding to your family and you have multiple children, I mean, there's just so much. So to be able to have that support and that person to fall back on, just to call and ask questions to, that comes in and kind of talks about child development, shows you where to go, answers some of your questions. I mean, just the relief that families have from just having that connection to another person, having someone come in that understands where you're at, where your child's at in their development, giving you advice if they're not sleeping at night or if you're in the stages of potty training and you're frustrated. And I think it's kind of that, I don't know, that missing link when you're trying to raise your babies.
It seems to me like, you know, just when you think you've got everything down and you know what you're doing, something changes and it all just kind of can fall apart, can't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. I need to take one final break here, and then Tara will talk about some of the events you have coming up.
Great.
And then if we have time, we'll get to some other issues and back to school things as well with Jody Scott, Regional Superintendent of Schools, and Tara Case, the Assistant Family Services Director at the ROE. It is 7:46. Galesburg Live continues in a moment on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Good morning.
Galesburg's News, Galesburg's Talk, 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
10 minutes before 8 o'clock at WGIL, this is Galesburg Live. Thanks for joining us. I'm Will Stevenson. Knox College President Teresa Amott joins us in less than half an hour to continue our back-to-school theme, which we are starting out with this morning, at least for a few more minutes, with Jody Scott, Regional Superintendent of Schools for Knox, Warren, Henderson, and Mercer Counties, and Tara Case, Assistant Family Services Director in the ROE. Tara, I want to continue with you first. We talked a little bit about some of the programs and things that you're involved in, and there's one that the whole public can be involved in that's pretty crucial here coming up in a couple of weeks, right?
That's correct. September 28th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., there's a community car seat check event. They're collaborating with the local fire department here in Galesburg. It's at the fire station on Broad Street. And during that time, which they encourage everyone to call, make an appointment. If you make an appointment, you're guaranteed your hour time slot. And they're checking just for expired car seats, manufacturer recalls, proper fit of the child, age, weight, height. And if they do not fall in all three of those categories, they will be given a free car seat.
Oh, that's great. Well,
yes.
Although I guess you don't want to have to think about the fact that your car seat might not be any good anymore. I get, you know, there's a part of me that gets frustrated when things change like that because I think, well, you know, it's worked before. Why isn't it working now?
That's been such a
really important area, at least in terms of safety, and I guess probably has shifted somewhat is how cars have been made.
That's true. And they also have changed a lot of the weight restrictions on whether the car seat can be forward or back facing. And so we have inspectors there that have all been certified through the ROE, OSF, the fire department, the Illinois Department of Transportation. So there's going to be a lot of agencies there working. So I'm not for sure how many appointments they're taking, but they can call the 309-734-3908. To make an appointment for that day.
All right, again, 734-3908.
Correct.
And we also have that event on our community events page at WGIL.com if you need more information there as well. But that's probably the, among all the other things you do, that's probably one of the most important, isn't it?
It is. It is. And we are super excited. We have probably five or six of our parent educators that are now certified. So they can call.
Okay.
Yeah. So they can call the Regional Office of Education at any time throughout the year and set up an appointment with one of those inspectors to have their car seats inspected. It doesn't need to necessarily be at a specific event.
Wonderful. That's great. What else do you have coming up?
We have on Monday, September 30th, we are collaborating with Discovery Depot. We are having a professional storyteller come, Dot Kane.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so she's going to be there in the evening. We have the Discovery Depot from 12 to 8, reserved, so it's going to be free for the community, and everyone can come and just explore Discovery Depot. And then twice throughout the day, Dot Kane will do a live story performance with the children and the families.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love that. That's how can do folks need to sign up for that, or how does that work?
Nope, that is free to the community.
Okay.
They can come and go throughout the day. Like, we will be there from 12 to 8.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's a fantastic thing you're able to do. What else do you have coming up?
We have October 1st and October 15th. October 1st is in Henderson County, and October 15th here's here in Knox County. We are doing a potty training one-on-one class with Loving Bottoms Diaper Bank.
Yeah, that's almost one of the most frustrating things. I don't have kids of my own, but I know from family that that's almost one of the most frustrating things a parent can go through, isn't it?
Right. And we encourage families to come maybe prior to even starting, because they give out a lot of strategies and ideas and different ways to approach it. They give a book to use. They give out a free potty chair for families who attend. We offer free childcare that night too, so the families can bring the kiddos, and we are offering childcare. So
wonderful.
That is another one that you would need to call either Loving Bottoms or the Regional Office of Education to make an appointment for.
Very good. And the one in Henderson County is when again and where?
The one in Henderson County is October 1st, and it's at West Central Elementary.
All right.
And it's from 5:30 to 6:30 in the evening.
And the one in Knox County?
It is Tuesday, October 15th from 5:30 to 6:30, and we are going to host that one at the Knox County YMCA.
Wonderful. That's great. Anything else you have coming up, Tara?
That is it for right now. Yeah, those are my flyers.
Wonderful. Hey, wow, you must be awfully proud of the work that Tara and really everybody on your staff is doing these days, aren't
yeah.
you, Jody?
The things happening at the ROE right now are so exciting, and just being able to collaborate with all of the local agencies, work with our school districts to make sure that great things are happening for our communities, our families, our children, and it is exciting. We are doing... I guess, events and supporting families from prenatal to adult education.
I drive when I come into work every day. I end up coming down Main and looking to my right and seeing the alternative school, the East location there. How is that going? And I imagine that's probably been a pretty big success for you too, hasn't it?
It is. You know, they are doing a lot of great things there. At the alternative school, we have a location on Main Street here in Galesburg, and then we have a location in Monmouth. At the Willits School Building, and our enrollment is up. We have a very high enrollment at the beginning of the year here this year as compared to past years. And
I'd like to suggest that maybe that's a good problem to have,
yeah,
right?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think because we're seeing success,
yeah,
and because students who are struggling in the regular school system come and just see a little bit different approach to education and get some individualized instruction, they do some online work and are able to find success and therefore able to graduate, which is exactly what we want.
I know in past years we've talked about truancy and ways that's been you've tried to help stop or at least curb that. How is that going? Are we still seeing problems in that area across the schools in the region?
Yeah, so we talked last year. Well, last year was our first year, and we kind of revamped our whole truancy program. And so this year, the start of the year, we have really gone out and kind of had those conversations with students. Anyone who has started missing right off the bat, we've gone and said, what can we do to support you? How can we get you to school? Let's not create a habit that is just missing school or putting school aside. And so we've really hit the ground running. And I definitely think we'll see kind of an increase in attendance and a decrease in our truancy activity this year.
It's really kind of hard to say, though, so early, whether or not in the school year, whether or not there's still a problem with truancy, though, right? Or do we know yet?
Well, I think truancy is a problem, whether it's one student, you know, or 100 students. I mean, truancy is an issue, and getting students in school is what our focus is. So... what we're trying to do, I think our full intent is to catch that early and not to let it become something that, you know, gets out of hand for families, and to find out what the barriers are and why students aren't getting to school so we can help solve those issues.
Okay, I have about 1 minute left, so tell me either Jody or Tara, anything else going on or anything you want folks to know at this
watch
time
for,
about your office?
Watch for school buses.
Oh, goodness,
watch
yes.
for kids walking to school. I know sometimes we get away from that in the summer and don't think about it, so please pay attention to those stop arms. Make sure you never go around a school bus, and watch out for our kiddos as they walk to school every day.
All right. On that note, we'll wrap up. Jody Scott, Regional Superintendent of Schools, Tara Case, Assistant Family Services Director. Thanks to both of you for coming in this morning, and thanks for all your office does for our community and our region.
Thank you so much for having us.
And again, for more details on the car seat safety check and other events, you can go to our community events page at WGIL.com. Also, ROE33.net is your website, right?
Yes.
Very good. Thanks again. It is 7:59. In a few minutes, we'll have Knox College President Teresa Amott after we check local news, weather, and sports next on WGIL. Good morning.